Hello, Poggers, and welcome to another episode of The Pog State, the mostest importantestest of episodes of The Pog State, as we are about to delve into the realm of the playoffs. But first, it is the time that everyone other than me has been waiting for. It is the time to reveal who was the victor when they predicted the outcome of the regular season. And you may remember a certain decision that was made by a certain man called Atlas, where he put KT in first place for some really dumb reason. After today's match, as of course we are recording after KT took down Quandong Freaks, got their revenge. It feels a bit better, but does not that it? Much. They're still not exactly in the greatest position. And by that, I mean they're not first place. They're fourth, which is about where most people actually placed them. So we're going to begin this episode, gentlemen, with a bit of a look at who managed to get the predictions. Before we do start opening these envelopes, any predictions for where you're going to be? Where are you, Valdez?
First.
You're first?
First.
Yeah. You're first?
Third. I'm predicting third. All right,
well, there is a little bit of a spoiler because having a look at the gorgeous envelopes that we do have here, there is a first, and then there is a first. And these guys had a peek at the two firsts, and that's why they both assumed that they were first. And then there's a third, or a fourth, and there's a third. So we're not no one's tied for last place, weirdly enough. Any other KT first place predictions?
I'm actually a little sad, because what I would have loved is if KT was the team that DK ended up being, where it's like zero game score, like net zero, 9-9, perfect equilibrium. Because I feel like that would have but that would have been so perfect if that was KT, because you just put them first, saying that they're always a coin flip.
Yeah, and I said they're always a coin flip. Okay, so first we're going to reveal the first places. So I guess the gentleman that predicted that they were in first place, you guys can open these.
Yay.
And tell me whether they've got the right names on them.
We might have each other.
I can just be chronicler. It's fine.
Yeah. All right. That's fine.
Dutch.
You guys can keep them.
I can talk about my cats.
How do I do a Dutch accent?
Talk like you have a potato
just
in your mouth.
Just talk like the potato in mouth.
That's not bad.
It sounded offensive.
That's fine. It's a good
approximation. Chronicler.
Wait. But that's me.
It's really nice.
I'm Chronicler.
And I'm Valdez.
Yeah.
This is great.
You have to say you're walking here.
Congratulations.
I'm walking here. Where's my pizza?
Yeah.
That was incredibly New Yorkian. All right, well,
New Yorkian.
I'm feeling like you're probably going to be in this.
Yeah, it was okay for me. I had a decent run. There was some of the bottom teams, like, you know, doing some stuff that nobody could have predicted, and, except Chronicler and Valdez.
Except both of us.
Apparently. That ain't right.
Oh, wait.
No way. They spelled my name wrong.
Wait.
Oh, no.
How is that possible?
All right, let's go through.
There's no way.
Hold on.
Hold up.
Wait a minute.
It's because every single one of your bottom teams is wrong except bro.
I did have the goated swap at the end where I said, I don't give a shit about the top. I am just going to fix the bottom.
So
and I did do that.
My Fear-X is off by one. My Quantum is off by one. My DRX is off by one. My Nongshim is off by one. And Bro is correct. Whereas Atlas
and your
has,
Humble Life Esports is off by one as well.
Atlas has first wrong, third wrong, fourth wrong,
fifth right. I'm actually
right.
I'm
the bottom is all correct.
It's actually
that's why.
All correct. So I messed up the top four, but the rest of it I nailed.
So Atlas going for KT ended up paying off. It was
fine, yeah.
That can't be the lesson here.
No,
I don't know what the lesson is. The lesson is we will have to have a discussion about how this is calculated after this season.
I mean, it's very simply the amount that you get in the right positions is
the highest
the amount
value
of point
yeah.
that you get.
And the farther it is,
all right.
Away
well, I guess I'll
correct,
now. I guess I'll give this
deducted.
To you.
All right,
and then open my.
Oh no, not Comic Sans.
Comic Sans.
It's coming.
It's my first time getting Comic Sans. No, I got Comic Sans in the first one as well, didn't I? As I just overreact a lot
it's
in week
just
one.
A return to
okay.
Comic Sans.
Here we go.
Oh, ew.
To be honest, your name does look very cute in Comic Sans, though.
So, on one of my playoff casts, I will have an L on my forehead for the first game. Or maybe the first series, whatever
you like
guys want.
If everything goes
all
as according
games.
To plan, it should be DK versus KT, right?
I think it should be DK versus KT, yeah.
Collectively
I want it to
agree.
Be
Aziz
doing the
although
space,
although I think
though.
That Wolf can decide exactly when he would like
of
to
course.
Do
because if you're casting,
reveal.
Then you're not on camera as often, right? So
that's
I feel
true.
Like it should be the space where, you know,
yeah,
you get maximum uptime.
One, yeah, maximum
I'll figure out when I want an L. I guess I'll take the L on this one, guys. I thought I was third. Mm.
I dodged a bullet.
Why
in
didn't
a
you
huge
predict
way.
That Nongshim would be eighth instead of ninth, Wolf?
And that's the
and
thing
that
really
sucks. And
that
DRX would be ninth instead of eighth.
Is the amount of like
unbelievable
value in correctly predicting like where the east side's at is like so low.
Well, I mean, the thing is like that ended up being the most interesting part of the season in a lot of ways. Like to where things were going to land down there because we really didn't know. The top side ended up being a tier list that we got mostly right, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this season in total was mostly a tier list season, right?
Yeah.
We were saying that a lot during the season, and I think that's why me and Chronicle only got, like, one wrong.
Yeah.
Like,
just, I went,
one
I,
wrong.
I went
one swap.
Mega boring. And the only thing that did mess me up was that I think originally... I don't know what it ended up being. I think I swapped Kwangdong back up, which is what ended up saving me.
Yeah.
Because when we made the swap, we thought that they were going to make it. And then we all collectively thought that they weren't going to make it.
And then they made it.
And then they somehow made it.
Yeah.
My faith in Nongshim, though, remains, as always, misplaced.
Hmm. So was it... So, Valdez, did you actually... You got everything
mine
right.
Mine just KT,
except
Humalife.
For KT,
because in the beginning, you remember KT had that like really big win against DK, and we were like, oh, they're looking pretty good, and... Humalife Esports hadn't really hit their stride yet, so I was like, "Yeah,
no." I think it makes complete sense for when we actually did the predictions. Mine's the only one that's completely boneheaded.
Mal had them at third. Mal had Humalife Esports at third.
But I think it's a bit of a flip between those two for that particular time. So there we go.
Just trust the peanut; he just gets it done.
He does. He's pretty good at home. Pretty.
I think it'll be a lot easier to predict after week one for summer, just because. I think we now kind of know the level of the teams in general. Unless we have a big overperformance of playoffs or something like that, like we'll have a pretty good read. Unless someone really goes hard on preparing for summer, obviously, in the offseason. But I think it will be much easier to know. The east side, maybe not. But like,
no,
from 7
one,
to 10, I don't know. Kwangdong and playoffs teams and up, like, seems pretty easy.
I feel like we actually know less about the eastern side.
Yeah.
After this season, I'm like, I actually...
And also, if we remember, like, Kwangdong and Nongshim were apparently practicing really, really hard in the off-season before spring.
Yeah, with T1 as well, with
Worlds and
stuff.
Yeah. But that really, like, didn't seem to help all that much.
Nongshim
I think
is...
it helped Kwangdong Freaks initially, and then they hit a really rough patch that kind of ruined everything. And then Nongshim, I don't know, that didn't work.
No,
for them.
I feel like with Nongshim, the tragedy is even with their win score being as abysmal as it is, the amount of individual games that they've won, it's got to mean something. I don't know what it means, but it's got to mean something because they were, I think, the only team that actually consistently took games off of much stronger teams because it was very much a tier list season. I feel like we had a lot of. Like 4 versus 5 would go to 3 games, right? DKKT.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of those. But outside of that, I feel like the top teams just mostly 2-0'd, with mostly exception of Nongshim, which I don't get.
Yeah.
Don't think about it too hard.
Well, no, I tried. Because I tried, and then that's...
And also, I guess, like, for Nongshim specifically, they did lose a coach halfway through the season, which, you know, can't be that great for keeping your team on track. So hopefully they can sort that out moving into the summer season and look a little bit better. But now we can direct our attention away from the bottom of the standings. It is now time for us to do a little bit of a recap of what we thought about the season and think about who to deliver our MVP votes to. And this
Maybe
can
we
be.
We should do that first.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I think we should probably have a look at like the things that we remember most about this season, I guess.
Yeah. I feel like this season to me was, and I hate to say it, but like one of the least interesting LCK seasons that we've had since I joined the LCK. Like it seemed pretty obvious what was going to happen on most given days. There were a few weird upsets with KT and Kwangdong and D+, which were disappointing upsets. It wasn't like a glow up. It was like a fall down. It was a collapse.
That a blow up. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Nice. I like that. I don't know. I think the meta was not that bad or anything like that.
That was right.
We had a few problem champions.
As soon as Azir got removed, it was
actually
great.
So yeah, good.
It's so true. And next week, it's going to be all back to Azir again. But
yeah,
this season for me just felt like something extremely unlikely was never going to happen. Like, you walk to work every day thinking, like, I know what we're going to get. And in on the days where there was, like, a crazy series where you're like, okay, like, D+ might mess this up. You knew also, like, D+ might mess this up. Like, it wasn't like, uh-oh, whoa. It was just like, we saw this one coming.
Yeah, really the only game that wasn't that way, because I totally agree with you, although I do think the meta was a bit slow this season. Like, the games were pretty slow overall. We had a decent amount of scaling, I guess. Was KT Gen G, right? That was the one match where it was like,
yeah,
oh,
that
wow.
was the one time.
And that was
yeah.
like just Senna Nautilus, and they played it so well, and it was like a pretty bad meta read from Gen G just in one match, and it was a big upset. It was very nice, but that was about it. Also, like when Quantum Freaks won, that was pretty wholesome. You
it's
know,
all KT
just
games,
this week.
Isn't it?
A lot of
Hanwha over T1, that was like one small
yeah,
upset.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Hanwha over T1 was a big one.
Yeah, I think that the as Brendan was saying, even the upsets very often get boiled down to either bad meta reads, or I feel like there wasn't as much rising to the occasion. And I think that the way that this current season has gone hopefully shakes up a little bit. I also think that just in general, spring isn't as great as summer because not only do teams have meta reads that can be good or bad, but like the base level of synergy for teams that haven't been together, like obviously Nongshim and T1 are kind of the outliers here in very different ways. But even those teams, I think you can see some of the rust, and you still have to get used to what the new compositions look like. I think summer will be hopefully a lot better. I don't know if it'll really help with the tier listing, though, because if you look at the teams at the top, it's very obvious right there at the top. And if you're looking at the teams that like might have an upsurge, I think it's only Hanwha, KT, and that's about it. I feel like the problems that we've seen from DK and Kwangdong, like very deep problems, I'm like, can you fix those? And I mean, you can, because DRX won world, so anything is
what
possible.
What about a FearX?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I
about
feel like,
what about
DRX?
Pro?
DRX has some potential, you know? Like, I feel like there is opportunity for movement. I don't think they're going to be challenging, like, first place or something like that. But I do think, like, for me, FearX and DRX, the same team, they both showed, like, marked improvement towards the end of the season. And so I think that means that they'll be up a couple of levels, even if it just means that they've taken a couple of extra wins and, you know, don't drop a few games to Bro here and there and stuff. That's what I'm sort of thinking.
Two out of Bro's three wins this season were against Kwangdong.
Yeah.
That actually, that probably is one of the most memorable things of the season. That is actually deeply funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how that
and
happened.
Deeply Kwangdong.
Yeah.
You know, mid-season Kwangdong. I still don't understand why.
Who did DRX beat?
DRX? Bro?
Bro.
And I think Nongshim once? Or, they beat FearX, didn't they? In the first round?
Yeah, they beat...
They took a game off of them.
I know they got clobbered in the second one.
That was
one.
The split push, like, backdoor series where it was like, oh, a backdoor into the same backdoor but for the other team.
No, they beat FearX in round two because
that.
That's when we started saying, like, we think that maybe DRX looks like the team.
Yes,
you're right. Yep, you're right. Yeah.
But then mathematically, they just couldn't.
They were not gonna. Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, is there anything? I mean, DK being the way that they are, I think, isn't really a big surprise when we saw the roster announced.
Yeah.
I think most of us were kind of worried. KT is the positive story to me. I think that they are definitely fourth, but the development that they've gone through has been really impressive to me. The way they worked around Perfect in particular is really, really cool.
Pretty disappointed they didn't get first place.
Well, that's that's expectation.
Let's go watch some 2023 summer VODs.
Yeah. Awesome.
All pro votes.
2018. I'll just watch that 2018 Finals. Final again. Yeah. That sounds great. Yeah. Just watch Score winning that trophy.
Mm.
Thanks, you, Cal. Oh, what a time to be alive. So, MVP votes, though. And I think that the criteria for this is the difficult one. Like, because we get to choose out of every single player, and you'd expect, like, maybe we should all just say Chovy, right? Because Gen G are the best team.
Chovy.
Chovy had probably his best single season as far as performance level
there was
concerned.
That one season where he had like 100 and something
that
KDA.
Was yeah the Griffin debut season, that wasn't bad. 126 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, something ridiculous. Yeah.
I feel like,
but this one was better than that. I think still so.
There's an argument for Canyon for me because he and Chovy played together really well, but I wouldn't vote for him. I'm just saying, like, some might like try to push for like Chovy looked as good as he did because he had Canyon's help. And then the other vote that some of us talked about was Zayas, because he was just by far the best top laner for most of the season.
He was very good at picking Aatrox.
Yeah, and teams were very good at not stopping him from picking Aatrox also.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's a pretty easy Chovy vote. He had the biggest impact out of any player in the entire LCK this season so far. So I think it's going to be pretty clear when he gets it.
All right. So I think it's boring. MVP vote boring.
Yeah.
So let's do a different vote. Let's do a most improved.
Okay, well, that's perfect. It's also
perfect.
Boring.
Okay,
so,
boring.
No, actually have a good one.
Let's do a
No, I actually
bull.
Have a good one.
Okay,
so,
good.
So basically, because Gen G, like, yes, Chovy, I think, is the player that is the most clearly so far beyond everyone else, especially after the second T1 Gen G series. But who do you think is the individually biggest carry on their team? So then we're going to go more towards the lower end of the spectrum.
Okay.
Like, because then you could argue, like,
Peter.
Who is only where they are? Because I feel like you can make an argument for Cuz, for example. Right? Like, who is only... Which team is only in the position that they are because of...
Oh,
by
so
the large,
who has... Like, which team has the most standout solo carry?
Yeah, so, like, Cuz, Wheeler...
Jiwoo.
Okay, here's a crazy call-out.
It's probably Jiwoo.
Here's a crazy call-out, though. If D-Plus didn't have Showmaker in those first few weeks...
Oh,
they might
true.
Be in sixth place
well,
as well.
No, but that's, I think that's valid.
Yeah.
But and then Showmaker's last week's obviously we read off. But I feel like that's more interesting because it is Chovy. But then at least we can.
Yeah, so like more about like standout.
Actually,
carry.
Willer? Most valuable player respect to, or relatively to how the rest of their team performed.
For every team?
or just whoever
just
you feel the most strongly.
See which teams. Because I think that there are like. Probably three that are really standout, like Kwandong with Cuz, right?
It has to be.
Jiwoo for
Nongshim. Willer for Fear X. Cuz for Kwandong, I guess.
Cuz for Kwandong.
Yeah. And Teddy for DRX is like...
No, it's Pleta.
I mean, it's Pleta and Teddy.
I think it's the bottom lane
is what you want to say.
Yeah.
Because Teddy's stats are also like outstandingly
bro?
Good. Who is it for, bro?
Do they Pulbe? Have one? It's Pulbe.
Honestly,
played one game.
It might be Paulu. Like,
I think it might be Paulu.
I think it is Paulu.
It is Paulu.
Yeah.
Didn't play today for some reason, which is still. I think
no,
that
it was the height. Thing.
The height
like
court.
Said, yeah,
no, that
yeah,
was actually
like
probably it.
Yeah, yeah. So there's an amount of centimeters that you get for a team, and with Doiv, you can't have Paulu as well.
He's so charismatic as well. His interview was so like endearing.
Yeah, dude. That... He was just so large. I walked past him, like on the way to the Casades. I walked past Doiv, and I'm like, "You are like less
Don't
than
make
half
him
my
angry.
Age.
You won't like him when he's angry."
Oh, he's on Breon as well. The green team.
Oh my god, true. Actually, for Breon, it's Morgan.
Who is it for Helm of Life?
100% Morgan.
Is it Peanut or is it Viper?
Ooh,
I think it's Peanut.
Doran.
It's not Doran.
For the enemy team.
And it's not Zekka.
Doran does move the team in a direction more than any other player.
True.
It probably is still Peanut.
I think it's probably
Viper.
Peanut. But Viper did have a lot of games where
I think
he
it's
just
like
solo carried.
Yeah, that's
so
tough.
Did Peanut.
I think Viper sometimes carries when Hanwha is like not massively ahead, but they're usually massively ahead because of
Peanut. Yeah.
Yeah,
and then and on right. the Vipers not the Vipers, like, I guess I yeah. I guess I will carry fine. Mm. And then he does.
KT is really interesting to me. That I feel like it actually isn't really a standout player.
Oh, no, kind that's of the an enigma.
Yeah, it's kind of the antithesis to this.
It was, I feel like it was DRX all along.
for DK, it actually I think it actually has to be Showmaker.
Yeah,
yeah. Even his, DK, dr- yeah. His last couple of weeks have really been
for KT. It's definitely
really
Beryl. Because we don't know, it has to be Beryl. You know, like, there is no actual argument that you can
no,
you can make sense of, so
it's
just
Mark.
Beryl. No,
It's the LCS import.
Pilsic was the most clutch. I think Beryl had the most flashy, obvious performances.
I just like
BDD
to
was most consistent.
Every decision that KT makes, I just equate it to something Beryl is.
You equate
up.
Every decision everyone makes to something Beryl does.
Yeah. That's
Max
how it works.
Came to work today because he thought Beryl would prefer it.
That's why I wore this t-shirt. I woke up in the morning and said, what would Beryl do? He'd probably wear a shirt to work. Mm. And so I did. That's how it went. Oh.
Who is going to be the best player in summer? I didn't word that correctly.
Chobi. You didn't word very
no,
much at all.
Who's going to be the best player in summer, Chovy? Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Who is one player that we don't expect who is going to pop off in summer?
Lucid.
That was, like, kind of whatever this season.
Don't tempt me with a good time, Max.
Okay. Oh.
He's not going to be there.
Someone who was, like, kind of middle of the pack, not super noticeable, but he's going to be, like, excellent in summer.
Kind of wish Perfect didn't have his glow up today, because otherwise I would have said him. But maybe we could still say him. He's still got room to go.
I think Bulldog could do it. If he puts the time in, like,
yeah,
he's had some pretty good late games, and he seems pretty smart. Like, his positioning is really good. He's really good at knowing how he can actually turn people diving onto him into a resource, for example, especially on Aurelion Soul.
He's got a good attitude, too, so I think that that's...
I like Bulldog.
He's got some glimpses of brilliance, and, like, you know, I've been one of the biggest, like, Bulldog is a flop, like, super disappointed in his performance, especially last year, but... I think with the growth we have seen from him, maybe he's the one that I look at for seeing if the offseason is utilized well and seeing how much he grows.
I'd probably say Lucid. I think that's the easiest. Like,
for like unmet potential.
If we were doing like a prediction, I would probably pick Lucid.
Oh my god, you just gave me the answer. Like, it's Tarzan. He's the player in summer. Nobody saw it coming. Nobody saw it coming.
Oh,
no. And he's going to actually be really good.
Actually, I really shouldn't speak because I... Yeah.
You're only here so you don't get fined.
So I'm actually like, I'm really amazed that they're going to do that because I didn't think that Tarzan was that good at AD carry, but I guess like that's what he's going to be doing.
Oaks and I were actually talking about this. We're like, okay, hear us out. So you put Tarzan jungle. Of course, you need shot caller, understandably.
Uh-huh.
Then you rotate Lucid to mid. We've seen his Akali. If he can do that in Akali, he can
true.
Do it in another. And then Showmaker, AD carry. He's but remember when
good.
Showmaker was AD carry for those couple of, I don't know what it was. There was dark weeks for DK.
Yeah, that was
playing
the Malrang.
Yeah. Malrang was AD carry, and Showmaker was jungle bot or whatever they decided. Yeah. Like,
it was something. Obviously, my pick would be Lucid. If there is a shift in the jungle meta, because the greatest moments we have seen of him where it felt like he at least partially lived up was the Gen G series where he played a carry. I think the T1 series, we got that for like 15 minutes, and then he went full challengers and threw the game like... In
never
both.
Go full challengers.
Never go full challengers. But in the GNG series, I think we got to see what he could be. But I also think that the way that DK are going to be playing now is the way they're going to be playing throughout the year. So I don't actually think it'll get better. With him having the lowest gold share, I don't really think there's a lot of value there. I would probably go Clear. I think Clear also has been having
a great
glow up. Similar to Perfect. He's obviously on the worst team. I don't know if it'll continue, but... I feel like they both are really great kind of success stories for how we can see a player grow as a rookie where they make really obvious, like, Pool Bay, I think today was a good example as well, where you just do stuff in lane that in challenges you can get away with, and then in LCK you just get hard slapped down. Defy kill?
But also just, like, the amount of Pool Bay he was today was so high. He was the most, like, we got, like... We managed to like show everyone exactly who he is in one game,
yeah.
and the positives and the negatives. It was just, it was perfect. It was beautifully
He's
done.
About the damage maximalization with disregard for his own life.
Oh, yeah.
But Clear would probably be my main pick. Yeah, I feel like Kalix is too early. We don't really know. Like, yeah, obviously, he has some hype around them, but I feel like KT also showed us the best way to utilize a rookie is to have him in a team of people who can really, like, obviously Perfect put a lot of work in, but is also in a position where he can grow and he can be supported, and it isn't all on him.
And he has like the answer to every question at a moment's notice,
because
right?
he is the guru. Yeah.
Well, he does, but also like everyone's got so much experience on that team.
I'll give Yehu a shout as well.
Yeah.
Like
he
already improved a lot, but he came in and he looks pretty good.
I'd want to say Pleta, but I don't think he can get better. I think he's already just the best.
Yeah.
Damn, that play is so good.
Any Gideon believers?
No. Gideon Div. Gideon Div.
I was actually sad they put Doiv in. And Gideon had some pretty good games this season, like on Lee Sin in particular.
Mm.
His early game was pretty aggressive, but... I don't know. I was trying to say a good thing about Bro, and it was hard.
It's okay, Wolf. You got through it.
You did well.
It's okay.
Yeah, good enough.
I don't know where Effort played. That's like I know it's really sad. But
no, I think it was definitely because he had a good week in Challenger.
And
they
then
wanted
they were
to
like,
reward
also,
him for a good week in Challenger.
We're going to bring in Doiv and Poolbay, so like we need Big Brother back. I guess that makes sense.
Also, like, I mean, Effort's a really famous player, and I think it's good for the fans to have an opportunity to see him one last time. And
yeah, that's a good point.
So just like have a bit of an experiment. All right. So I think it's now time to turn our attention towards the playoffs. Try and figure out how this one is going to go. Just to let you guys know, we will probably by the very end of the episode actually have a bit of info as to who Humble Life Esports has chosen.
It's Quantum Freaks.
And it's going to be Quantum Freaks. They might have already actually just posted.
I think they have 2 hours
it.
Left. So
9:30 is the cutoff.
Oh, 30 minutes left. Okay.
Mm. Yeah. So that should be happening within the time of the Pog State. If it's not, we will just assume that it's going to be Quantum Freaks anyway. So I think we might need to do some magical materialization of a whiteboard.
Are we all going to clap together and make it appear?
Yeah. All right. Three.
No, do the Korean, because we did the...
What?
The voice lines.
You okay?
No. My language doesn't work. No, the Hanadul set, the fighting, because we did the chants because of the DDoS thing. It's fun to bring it back.
Or just count to three and we'll make the whiteboard appear. Okay.
I can do it in, if you'd like me to count to three.
Do it in Korean.
That's totally fine. Okay. Hanadul set.
We were a little off on that one.
Again? Whose clap is going to bring the whiteboard? We'll know whose it is when the whiteboard comes in.
Wow. It just appeared.
Wow.
Despite our really out of sync clapping, it still showed up.
Magic.
Yeah, that
Shout
was amazing.
Shout out to Guyan for her awesome Rammus drawing.
Amazing. I hope you guys can see it.
Especially because we've had Rammus today.
It looks a little bit from here like he's got like a little claw, like he's a crab, like it's
also,
a crab Rammus.
I told Kyan to take a liberty. If anyone objects, now is the moment.
No.
I object.
Any objectors?
Pretty sure.
There might be some in the YouTube comments.
Well, as long as you put the right team next to them, I'm sure those YouTube comments will go away. It'll be fine. So let's jump up to the top and make a few assessments as to where things are going to go. So if we could just chuck a Quantum
so
Freaks.
This is KDF because it's the LCK. No one ever picks.
Yeah. And we saw what happened when a team picked the wrong team last time and they did not hear
lost.
The end of it. They still have not heard the end of it. As KTDK.
And they probably never will, to be honest, knowing KT the orc.
And so KT has side selection going into their match against either Quantum Freaks or DK, I guess. But I think regardless of what happens here, we probably expect Harmer Life and KT just to walk out of it, right?
Yeah.
Which worries me for KT.
Yeah. We're all going to predict KT to win, and then they're going to find a way to lose. Because we all predicted them to win.
Maybe get Kwangdong Hanwha out of the way first. I feel like that's the match where I'm like, I just don't see it at all. I think in KTDK...
I think there's actually no angle.
No, because in KTDK, like, if we come from the future and like, guys, KT bombs, we're like, Yeah. Are we surprised?
No. Not at all.
What has to happen?
So, well, for Kwangdong Freaks to win. If KT lose, I think Genji don't pick D+, actually.
No, they 100% won't. No, I agree. That's actually...
Because, I mean, this team has already played them close. They have a history of playing close against them. I just... I mean, maybe they do because it's the LCK, but I feel like they might actually just...
No, I agree.
Not.
But as Feldus was saying, so what needs to happen for Kwangdong to beat Hanwha?
They have a lot of fans. They played much better when their fans were going crazy.
So Doran...
I think if Hamalife Esports' monitors turned off, Kwangdong
that would help.
A chance.
That would help.
I mean, the truth is, like, I just don't see any world where this matchup goes well for Kwangdong Freaks unless they have a really sick draft read, you know, going into the new patch.
Oh, actually, yeah, that's exactly
that, that's
it.
Like the only
it's the
way.
The CVMAX like psycho draft angle.
I mean, if you just read out the
might
matchups,
well.
You're like, okay, Zekka versus Bulldog in mid lane. You're like, okay, well, that one doesn't seem crazy until you think about what Zekka plays and how it's good into Bulldog's playstyle.
Mm-hmm.
Think about top, and you're like, okay, Dudu hasn't had the greatest season. You know, like, he's not going to be able to punish
today
Doran.
He had a rough game, too. Yeah. We were watching that, like, oof.
Cuz versus Peanut, like, that's, like, on its own sounds like, oh, that could be okay, but...
Yeah, that's
but if all
that's
the lanes are
bad.
Losing, because bottom lane is Viper and Delight versus...
Also,
and question mark? Like, we don't even know?
Peanut just wins those matchups.
Yeah.
Like, even though it is because I feel like, you know, what he did to Owner, what he's done to a lot of junglers, how many championships he's won, like, I think he's just going to come in with, like, the next level, and Peanut's just going to pop him, too.
Disrespect from Hanwha coming into this series and not a lack of preparation trying to prepare for upcoming matches instead could be a way.
They have been known to have lazy games, especially Peanut.
Mm.
Like, Peanut, mm-hmm. like, tries as hard as he needs to, and then
that's
he
a
doesn't
very good
anymore.
Point.
Like,
I'm gonna move this.
That maybe is like that's the angle, but that doesn't win them three games.
That's the it's because it's the best problem. Of five,
and then
right?
It's Viper and Delight.
Yeah,
yeah.
Against Bull and Quantum.
Question mark.
It probably will be
probably
Quantum.
Quantum.
But
probably
I feel like it also
I think
doesn't
matter.
It also doesn't matter yeah. at all. No, I'm.
What if it's Moham?
He's not even playing
no,
challenges. I know, man. Moham's haircut can throw off even the most experienced player.
True.
It's very no,
true.
It's yeah, like somewhere between meta read, Doran having a truly awful day, because Doran has been incapable of solo losing series. We've seen this at internationals many a time.
True.
And if this was them meeting at an international, I'd be like,
oh, Kwangdong's got it.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say that, but then I'd be a believer, but. And it shouldn't be, right? It's third versus sixth. So, like, it should not be... There shouldn't really be any
yeah.
angles.
We talked about how it's a tierless season. Like, Kwangdong Freaks are at least three tiers below Hanwha Esports, and there's only two teams in between them.
I think
so
if we were talking about FearX against Hanwha Esports, I'd be more optimistic about FearX than I would about Kwangdong Freaks. I think that their form is better at the moment.
Hey, you know what? Free Willy. I'm with it. I like it.
No, but just, like... Towards the end of the season, that's why we were having that conversation, right? And DK decided to go completely kaboom versus Kwangdong Freaks, and that's why Kwangdong Freaks are here. I don't think it's necessarily a lot on Kwangdong Freaks are looking like they've solved
then
their issues.
Then lost to Nongshim yeah. as well. But that was after they got knocked out, so.
Let's talk about KT versus D+. Yeah.
I think this will be...
We need a whole other episode for this.
Best,
yeah.
The best... possibly the best series in playoffs. Not in terms of gameplay, but in terms of entertainment value. I feel like this one is going to have it all.
I think
it could have it all and also be very boring. Like, it could actually just be everything. It's Schrodinger's best of five.
The difference between these two teams to me is very clear in that KT is extremely confident and everything they do is very intentional and the shot calling is very quick. And sometimes it's the wrong choice, but, like, they make decisions. D+, they do not make decisions. And so I think, like, sometimes this is to KT's detriment, right? Where they make a hard call. We're going to this Baron. And we're going to, and it's, oops, this was a little bit wrong. Or, like, I think we win these. And then Barrel flashes in and looks for the engage and loses them the fight. And they have clean, clear shot calling, right? Whether it's the right choice or not, like, their shot calling is very crisp. You know, arguably up there with, like, Genji, T1, and Hanwha. And then D+ doesn't have a shot caller. They have, like, Lucid sometimes going in while the rest of the team is going out and stuff like that. I do think that while we talk about the team's performance against each other in a best of three, as well as like some of the stuff that we've seen that's wacky from KT, and we go, well, it'd be crazy. I actually think KT probably just smashed D+. Like, they're better coordinated. Pioshik's better on form than Lucid is right now. And Yeah, maybe Shoemaker has like a pop-off game against BDD or something like that. But otherwise, you look at the rest of the map too, and you're like, Kingen, is he gonna
solo adventure
get it done?
Yes.
How is Grasp Azir on this patch now that he's back?
I'm sure it's great.
Probably good. Maybe aiming like shows up because he was good in playoffs for KT last year. So maybe he's like, all right, now I gotta focus. Like, I swear, if he could just like fix his focus issues, he would be much better than he has been all spring. But maybe if he can step it up and someone like makes a hard call, like, hey, we're gonna, this guy's the shot caller. It doesn't matter what he says, you know, you just listen to what he says. Maybe, but I kind of do agree. I think KT will take the series, but I think it might get really messy. I don't have too much faith that KT are going to be clean with it either.
That's the right way to approach it.
Yeah, I went for, because I already put in my predictions, I went for a KT smash them angle, because I think that DK have the building blocks to be a good team, and they also seem completely incapable of actually being a good team. I feel like we've seen glimpses of how to utilize aiming, and then the next game, like, that doesn't work at all. Like, either they don't play around him, or they put him on picks that he very clearly should not be playing. Like, I think aiming last summer's performance on Kai'Sa is kind of self-explanatory. If you're picking a dive comp top, why are you picking Jinx? You like, and but it's and that's but that's a team thing, right? Because I feel like if aiming is on Kai'Sa, I could see him carry that game genuinely, because I feel like him in dive comps, he knows what to do, he knows how to play those. And then the same is for Lucid and Shoemaker, who I think have been the other kind of, because I feel like Kingen has been great, but I also think Kingen doesn't win you games. And I feel like Lucid, Shoemaker, that 2v2, especially at the beginning of the season when they matched up against Gen G, they actually looked really good. And then recently, we've kind of seen them move away from that again, right? Where they try to play because the meta shifted away from tank support, so Kellen's more on enchanters, meaning Lucid is basically on rail duty, or, God forbid, Maokai. I think none of us want to see that.
Hopefully Lee Sin.
Yeah, hopefully Lee Sin, but that's going to get banned 100%, right?
His like Vi is also looking
okay. His Vi is fine, but like I feel like DK very fundamentally have no idea what they're doing as a team, and it's kind of echoes what Wolf says, but I also feel like I don't think you can fix that in a weekend. Like, I could see DK be good in summer, even if they don't make the changes that we meme about a lot, which...
Yeah.
But KT right now, it feels like they know what they're doing. And sometimes what they're doing is wrong.
But it's decisive.
But they do know what their players offer and how to use it.
Yeah, I think D+ also has this thing where they do kind of know what's happening in the early game. And then you get to the late game and they're like, wait, I don't have control anymore. We have to think. And like then we have to make decisions. And then everyone's silent. And then they like drop a Baron and don't get a dragon or don't get a cross map.
They're like
map
a rookie team. Yeah. Where like the early game is really railroaded in general in League. So like being like, we're going to dive on the first stacked wave. We're going to like get... They do that. And then after that, it's...
Do you know what's actually hilarious? They just need to watch the Fear-X VOD back of them crushing Bro in game one to work out how to play the late game. Isn't that fun? Like they have something to... Like DK has something to learn from Fear-X, a team that's far younger than they are. And DK have so many veterans, so many players that have been around the traps for so long, and they're not able to do it as well as Fear-X.
It does make you wonder, like, the coaches of both of these teams as well. Like, KT seems to be pretty hands-off in terms of, like, what's going on in the team, and it seems like D+, they, Zefa especially, seems very hands-on, but it's not working. Like, I don't know... It's a chemistry issue with the players that they've had since last year, even though it's a completely different roster, essentially. Like, D+ has been very disappointing this season, and, like, the fact that there's been no improvement, and it's, like, literally the same issues as last year, I'm like, how can this happen? Like, how did this occur? This just doesn't seem... It shouldn't be the case.
And sometimes a team just doesn't gel. Sometimes it just doesn't work, you know? And you just can't predict it. So this hasn't necessarily been a success. So it is their worst season. Like, the reason we're talking like this, they are a team that's still going to playoffs, right? But this is their worst season that they've had since the inception of Damwon into the LCK.
Is DK's form currently worse than Kwangnam Freaks' form? I mean, they did just lose to them.
I feel like they're still 2-0.
Maybe.
Because I think their peak is way higher. So I feel like if they had, like, a...
I feel like also, like, if you're talking from the perspective of Humble Life Esports, they will definitely respect DK more.
Yeah.
That's what I'd assume.
But I do think that Kwon
just in terms of form.
No, like, I mean, it's because they 2-0'd them, right?
No, I think you might actually be onto something.
It just feels like, you know, it's fourth versus fifth, but it doesn't necessarily feel like that right now, especially after week 9. It's like KT are coming off a very, you know, smash win over Guangdong Freaks, whereas DK got absolutely wrecked by them, and it's like these teams don't look like they're in the same universe right now.
You know what DK need to do? They need to become KT of last year. So put Kellen on roamers, play towards topside only, get Showmaker ahead.
Is there challenger support?
Loopy?
Yeah. Loopy.
Loopy, yeah. He's fine.
Yeah, I think we're keeping Kellen in.
Yeah, I mean, Loopy isn't playing.
He just had a rough series against Guangdong, so I was just curious.
I think that's actually the angle. And leave aiming on an island on Kai'Sa, he will get Shiv, farm waves, and then do great in the fights afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, I think that your read is correct. I just don't think they can figure it out.
They're not gonna. No, but that's like because again, I think we're all in agreement that KT's gonna win. But if DK do win, that's how I imagine it'll happen. Or it's KT for some reason just lose. Which,
yeah, I can see like actually how it works. And it works both ways. Actually, we had a conversation about this a little bit earlier on. So one of the teams is gonna go up 2-0 in the series. And then it's either just a clean 3-0 and we go home, or it's the Giga throw angle into reverse sweep, silver scrapes.
No 3-1.
Silver and scrapes, yeah.
I can see it happening on both sides because the mental collapse that both of these teams are capable of after one misplay is astronomical.
And also the confidence that D-Plus gets when they are winning. Like, I feel like D-Plus could 3-0 or they will never win. Like, it kind of feels like that to me. Like, they win game one, then they're, like, really feeling themselves in game three, and then they absolutely smash, game two, and then absolutely smash game three, and then, like, that's the only scenario in which D-Plus win, I think, is a 3-0, where they're just, like, really feeling it. Everybody's on the same page. The shot calling starts to happen because the players are hyped and they're talking to each other. It's not going to happen, but, like, it could be a world. I think they never win a 5-gamer against KT.
All right. So we can probably slam some names in. As Gen G, who are they going to choose?
I mean, I think you probably got to choose Capcom Marker, right? I don't know.
Isn't it just always KT?
Yes.
Probably.
That's what I would
assume. It's the only team that beat them during regular season, but that was a weird Senna thing.
It was
thing.
A fluke. I mean, the...
I mean, if Kane has a say, I think he'd prefer Humble Life Esports because I assume he likes just beating Doran down.
I think that also, in my opinion, Humble Life is great, but they're also just worse Gen G in the way that they play a lot of their games. So I feel like Gen G is just never going to lose to them. But I think that it's the LCK. They'll pick the lowest ranked team.
In playoffs, I actually think like choosing Humble Life Esports is the correct call. Because KT is just such an enigma. Like,
they
how are you supposed
heads.
To prepare for them? Like,
you never know.
You always know exactly what Humble Life Esports are going to do.
Oh, I don't dislike the argument, but what do we think they will do?
So, they'll pick KT,
yeah. They'll pick KT. Yeah, I think we have to write KT in. I think that KT, and we'll get into this actually after we put T1s in there as well, yeah. But I think that KT, weirdly enough, their play style is... A lowercase e-sporter, huh? Oh, that's fine.
Yeah. And there's a dash. I think there's a dash as well.
But, I think KT, interestingly, their read on the meta and how they play around, like, lane prio does kind of mess up Gen G's eco style. So, I mean, I could see a world where KT could take a game off of Gen G in the series. I don't think this is going to necessarily be a stomp.
They have a lot of
they
good
took
players,
a series.
Too.
Like, they were the only team that could beat them, right, this whole season.
Yeah, can just have something on the patch that they have a good read with.
That's actually another thing. Like, if you think about it, like, why would Gen G choose the only team they've lost to?
Well, they smashed them the second time around, and they didn't seem to care. But,
True.
I think it was a Senna Nautilus that they let through that was the problem.
And double Lucianami, and then after that, every single team that tried it, we got like what was it, 16 game Senna win streak.
That was a large win streak for Senna. That did happen. All right, so that. Sort of doesn't make sense.
But I do think KT really is good into Gen G's style, like stylistically, as long as they don't get smashed in the early laning phase. If they have a like lane prio draft, which is part of what they won with when they played the Senna, they had winning lane top, winning lane mid, and then the Senna's roaming and doing stuff. It could happen.
I also think that Lehens and Keane really dropped off sharply in quality last summer in playoffs compared to where they were in the regular season. Like, regular season Keane was absolutely insane. And then as we got to the playoffs, he was just not nearly the same player. So I feel like that could be a case. But I think that between Chovy, Paze, and Kenyon, like,
I think they'll be fine.
Lehens and Keane can do what they want.
Well, that's my point, right? Like, I think it's always Genji. But the others, so I can put Genji the upper bracket, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think we might see like a 3-1, but I do think it's obviously going to be a Genji win. That's what we predict at this moment in time.
And this is why we want Genji to pick KT, is so that we get the next matchup, right?
Because...
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not brave enough to predict this one.
I feel like I have to lean towards Hanwha right now.
Yeah.
Like, Peanut seems way better than owner at this moment in time. Zekka has fixed some of his champion pool, and Doran feels like the anti-Zayas to me. And in high-pressure matches, he often does just absorb that pressure, and so I feel like that's a good matchup for Doran.
Zayas,
we saw it
like
happen in the finals multiple times.
The only player that Doran knows how to beat.
Yeah. So, like, that's a good thing.
It's so true.
And then Delight, Delight versus Carry is a super interesting conversation to have, because I think Carrier has been more interesting and more innovative, as he often is. But Delight has mostly been more solid in terms of actually playing up against tough opponents, where Carrier punched down really hard this season a lot and did some really cool stuff, and he's probably the number one support of the season. But I feel like in this matchup, maybe Delight makes a bigger impact.
Yeah, this one for me is the hard. I feel like this is the closest 50-50 that we might get at all, and I hope we get it as a rematch as well. Because I also think that T1 deserves some credit in the form of them leveling up in best of fives, them leveling up in playoffs. I definitely think that is going to play a part. But I also agree. I feel like the form of the players right now just doesn't look that great, which is fine and understandable because it's spring and they won Worlds and they're basically zero downtime. And I think you're really starting to see the results of that long-term fatigue. And even if you end up losing here, that in by itself also doesn't really kick you out of the bracket because you're already in double elimination. I think that the main advantage I would give over T1, even though I think Hanwha Live's draft have been great, is that if T1 do get a good meta read, I feel like they can be more oppressive than probably any other team in the bracket. So, like, if they, and I think we saw this at Worlds, if they do manage to find something on the next patch that really works for them, they can definitely ride that. But I feel like Hanwha Live right now feel more well-rounded as a team.
I think T1's mid-game and their macro is better than Hanwha's overall, even with like some player form issues. But they have been able to come back in games that even where they're slightly behind, because the reads on how to team fight are so good. Their macro is really good. I think Hanwha hasn't been able to push their leads as well, but they don't care because they have Viper, and they're like, oh, we got to late game, and maybe we'll win this way. It's either Peanut carries the early game or Viper carries the late game, and they have both insurance policies. But I think if T1 does win, it will just be better drafts, as mentioned, and also just better map play and better pushing of advantages, because T1 have been very good at snowballing this season. Hanwha Life have been almost as good, but I wouldn't say as good at snowballing leads.
I'm a little bit worried for T1 in their drafting. I mean, Lucian seems pretty good, but then when you put Carrier on Nami, it kind of feels the same when Viper plays Lucian. He's also very good at it, but then you've got Delight on Nami, and it's like, why? These supports, like, they could probably play mid lane and carry your whole team, but instead they're playing Nami, you know? So that's a little bit of an issue. And T1 seem more attached to that duo than any other team, I'd say, especially when you're picking it into Genji and Hanwha Life Esports. So I do also lean towards Hanwha Life. I feel like they're having a really nice run up here at the end of the season. Like, the timing is really nice, you know. Peanut's really good in these high-pressure situations, so is Viper. So I think those two guys can just kind of carry it. And yeah, T1 also very clutch. They won Worlds, etc. But I think at this exact moment, because this match is going to happen 2 weeks from now, maybe they get some development in. But right now, I would pick Hanwha Life Esports. But maybe it's like 60-40. I mean, T1 are still a very good team. And I would say that recency bias, it does matter, because they did lose to Hanwha Life Esports and Genji, but at the same time, you know, I think they are still very strong. They can be a bit predictable as well in terms of drafts. You know, like, they play a lot of the same stuff into like lower level teams, and they just smash them. And then upper level teams are like, no, we're not going to let you do that. You know, we're
ZS Aatrox, probably not going to be a thing.
Ban ZS Aatrox, ban Ashe, you know,
Twisted Fate,
ban Varus, and then it's like,
and
okay,
also,
what are you going to do now?
And you also have to ban Senna and
Viper
Kalista.
Zeri, or Guma Zeri. You know, Zeri is pretty relevant.
I think Viper is much better right
now. So I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like that seems like a weak point for T1. Is the uncomfortable Zeri play. Like, it feels like he doesn't like to play it. They don't want to draft it. It makes him a little bit more predictable. If he does end up playing it, it won't necessarily pop off. This could be the series where, like, Guma's pushed onto Xayah, and we're like, oh, no!
Oh, don't talk about that champion, please.
I think Jinx Thalios might make a comeback this playoffs. If you look out, I don't know about Thalios.
Oh, yeah, it's 14-6, right?
But it's
I mean, Guma is already starting to Sivir? Jump on that Thalios bandwagon.
Yeah, so Sivir, I appreciate the joke. I feel like even the four armor not going to be enough for her. But that is one thing that I do think T1... they can really go back to the playstyle that they used to play with the Jinx of Thalios. If it ends up being that meta, I feel like Guma does benefit from it. I do agree. I feel like Guma on dive champions just doesn't really hit. And Viper hits on anything, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like Zeri just requires such a specific playstyle and also your team to play around it, which obviously the poster child for that is Gen.G because they've been doing it since 2022. But if it ends up being like a fresh Thalios-esque meta, I could see T1 do well. I feel like this for me is really 50-50. Depends on the form of the team on the day. Depends on the prep, how the meta shapes up after we've seen the first couple of series. This is the one I think. This one I'm looking forward to for entertainment value. This one I think is going to be... Mm. I hope that's a good game.
That might match
KTT1. I don't think it will, but...
Yeah.
Sorry. There's a lot of things
coming up. No, because that summer, those summer series.
There are a couple
amazing.
Of things that might favor T1. You might say, okay, they get the extra rest. They have a whole best of five, probably just three games to see like what Homolife is playing against Quantum Freaks. But more often than not, it's actually the team that plays more that oftentimes looks better. So it's like maybe that's just a win for Homolife, actually, that they just get some practice in a best of five, you know, get on stage in a high-pressure situation, get that out of their system, and then T1's going to play their first series against Homolife Esports, who just beat them.
So
that's pretty rough mentally, I'd say.
So I think we can probably put Hanwha here, and then simultaneously you can
So this
put
is actually
Hanwha
the point.
Yeah, that's a 3-0, this one here, this upper bracket. I don't think that's going to be very interesting, to be honest.
I don't think Hanwha can beat Gen.G in their current form.
I don't think it's possible.
No, I don't think so either. But I also think that like it's correct to put Homolife Esports there because look at what happens in the lower bracket, baby. Look at what happens in that lower bracket. Because that is... You were mentioning this is going to be the best series. Well, what about...
Telecom War.
That we call Telecom War, and then it is actually just destruction.
So then put T1 down here.
Tier list season.
Yeah, I am kind of...
Yeah.
As good as that is going to be, I feel like... What I do think is that this is really, even more so than last time around, this bracket looks... Obviously, this is not great, but this bracket looks hella dope.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. There is not one of these matches that I'm going into thinking like, oh yeah, whatever. And I think that like I'm going outside of round one. Actually, it is match one of round one. That's the only one that's.
That's actually the
also
only
T1
one.
Homolife Esports. You know.
No, that's the opposite.
Never mind.
I mean, like this is probably the next worst thing. Which if Gen.G Homolife is your next worst match, that's not bad.
No, we take those. And this is like Viper versus Chovy. Like there are so many things like in this matchup that is just so good. Mm.
Delight versus his former team.
Canyon versus Peanut.
I think it's happening again, guys.
You think
even
T1 will win?
Even if Hanwha win here, I think we can't escape our fate.
Oh, but also, if it is Gen.G T1, then we get unique matchups.
Throughout
the whole of playoffs.
Which is hella dope.
That's kind of cool.
But like,
well, I mean, besides this.
So this is.
T1 HLE has stuff.
But that last year gave us two amazing series. So let's hope that happens again. I feel like it will. Here I'm like 60% Hanwha Life. Here I'm like.
Well, here's the thing. T1 is a team that learns and improves super quickly, mm-hmm. just like they did last season, where they made their run back and ended up winning the whole thing, or going to the finals at least. Like, here, you might have problems, but by the time we reach here, like, you fix them. Hanwha might have some problems exposed here that they will not fix
and then
by here.
Like, we just know this is going to happen, Gen right? G, and then it's like, yeah, I think T1 are actually favored in this lower bracket finals.
Besides some cool stuff that Peanut does, like, Hanwha Life Esports, like, straight up as a team, they just out, they're like a hands-diff team. Like, they're like the third-place gatekeeper, like, team where no team below them is good enough to actually beat them mechanically. And Peanut, again, does some cool stuff, pathing, whatever. Like, I think that is going to be an edge here. But Zekka's champion pool will be further tested slash exposed here. By the time we get here, I think they lose this one. I think this sounds crazy if you're watching this and you're like, but they said they would win here, but you said they're going to lose here. But knowing how T1 improves, like, I do feel like we just...
It's just going to happen again.
It should be
the longer
way,
the tournament goes, I think T1 will get an advantage.
But also,
especially then, if they beat KT, you know, pretty handily.
Does T1 beat Gen G in the final?
No.
Or do they just
never.
Get
no
creamed?
Way. Never.
Because, like, so. You were talking about the ramping type situation, and, like,
I do
what
think
what we did see was Gen G did this to T1, is they played the day before,
mm-hmm.
got that win in the lower bracket final, yeah. and then comes in and beats
and then,
them. Maybe the reverse happens, like,
you're
the spring afterwards.
You're too early. They beat them at MSI. That's actually...
Uh-huh.
I'm not even joking. That's actually what's going to happen. It's just a rerun of last year.
I think T1...
And then BLG smashes them in the semifinals, and then we're, like, really sad.
Oh, no. I do think that T1, in the best of three against Gen G, where they got kind of smashed, a lot of their holes were kind of shown off. And, you know, Gen G knew, like, exactly what to... prep
exploit,
into it, and T1
yeah.
kind of got stuck in some of their drafts. Then we saw Lucianami not really work out at all, and Zeus kind of had a rough time. Canyon absolutely bodied him in the top side many times with his ganks, and I think that T1 can have a better chance in a best of five. I don't think it's going to look like the best of three that we have between them. I think T1 will become better prepared. They'll have more chances, and they might be able to take a game or two. I don't know if I would very easily say 3-0, although I do agree that Gen G is the much better team. T1 might get something here and there, and I think they're going to, you know, prepare and improve over the course of this series,
so,
whereas Gen G won't really be challenged at all, I would say.
What about having just a little discussion about, like, what happens if Hanwha actually do...
No, that's the way worse final. I feel like that matchup never... I
is
feel
it
like
a way
it
worse
never,
final? It's... Doran and Peanut.
To be honest,
no. I'm saying,
yeah. To be honest,
play.
I'm like, it's not T1 Gen G, so it's the best timeline.
No, so I'm talking strictly gameplay. From a narrative point of view, we got Peanut on the motorcycle again.
No, but I'm
maybe.
Saying gameplay yeah. because it's a final, a domestic final that Peanut is in.
Doran's
going to
play
winning,
Gragas for some reason.
Okay,
like, he's not even meta.
On one hand, we have Peanut and his co-worker is Zekka.
Yeah,
and then on the other hand, we have Chovy
and Canyon, yeah, but they also have Viper. He's way better than Paze.
True.
Like, that bottom lane is Giga,
but I just don't think it's gonna matter.
But, like,
it's
I feel
Giga.
Like the way that Viper is better than Paze doesn't translate in you smashing Gen G.
No.
Like, you don't
they're
smash
not gonna smash
lane.
Gen G.
Get some wins though.
Well,
they
no,
definitely
sure,
don't smash them, but I think that, like, that makes it a more interesting matchup.
I just think Hanwha Life is just Gen G, but slightly worse, because what makes Gen G so oppressive to play against is their
Chovy.
Well, it's partially Chovy, but it's also, like, everyone on that team, their CS stats are...
Yeah,
because they
it's
never
ridiculous.
Waste a wave. So I feel like the reason why I feel like T1 can actually... If it isn't Gen G, I imagine it'd be T1. Because I think that they actually, even though obviously they have a lot of mental hang-ups against performing against them, at least the play style is different. I feel like Hanwha Life, if you try to play the same way as Gen G, you just never beat them, which is why Gen G also has sucked at internationals, because they get met with very different play styles, and then they kind of lose it.
Yeah, I think for the same reasons where we expected Gen G to easily win here, I think it's an outclass. I want to see Hanwha Life esports players on a final stage. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I'm like, this is the worst finals. Not just because we think it's gonna be 3-0, but like, I keep seeing these two names on the final stage. I take this in this spot
Or T1 versus
Scrim. I mean, that would be
World
insane.
World Scrim matchup?
That would be an insane
getting, like,
story.
Is it the Pyoshik, like, comes back to Korea and makes the run to the finals again?
Pyoshik doesn't have an LCK title.
Yeah.
So which team do Definitely we think is doesn't. The one team that could make an insane run?
KT.
It's KT, 100%. Yeah. Yep. Because they could just flip some heads on the way. Like, who knows?
Yeah.
It's almost likely, because is 50% chance likely?
Max,
it's about as likely as it is unlikely.
Yeah,
okay. We got confirmation. I thought she was about to tell us that it didn't. I'm like, let's start it. Yeah.
All right, so just to let everyone know, that is confirmation that Kwandong Freaks are definitely going up against Humble Life Esports in our very first round. So this is all wasn't a waste of time.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I would love a Cinderella run. I feel like we haven't had one of those since 2018.
Afrika.
Afrika, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even kidding, because so in 2018 summer we had KT. Then 2019 was T1 twice? Or T1 Gen.G maybe?
2019 was, I think it was T1 twice. Wasn't
Might
it?
Be, yeah. They definitely were in spring because they went to MSI. I don't know about Worlds. Maybe it was Gen.G. And then in 2020, obviously, it was T1 and Dom1.
Yep.
Then in
2021, definitely Dom1.
And
yep.
Then it was just Gen.G T1 all the way down.
Yeah.
So, like, if KT end up winning, even if Hanwha end up winning, I would love it. Like, it would be so cool. But I think the bracket itself and the individual matches,
I'm super psyched. And I actually think that, like, I'm okay with Gen.G going for the Quadra, you know? And I think that this iteration of Gen.G is the closest thing to a successful super team that we've had in a great many years.
And some pieces got moved around, but it's still the core is Chovy, right? It's still mm-hmm. part of this roster, and
Pays
obviously as well. And Lehen's coming back is really cool to see. And I don't know, it just feels like a real legacy is brewing here. And
Keen's gonna get a trophy, man. He's gonna get stuff, and it's gonna be proof that he's super good. And that's just makes me happy.
Who was it in 2018? Afrika.
Afrika and Kingzone.
No, but who was it? Wasn't Keen?
He was,
Keen
on
was
that
definitely
team.
On that team. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He got a silver medal.
Yeah. He did.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah, it's not as much of a trophy. You don't get the
trophy.
That would
be really cool, actually. Keen finally getting a domestic pro. The rest of the team is like, you guys got plenty.
They've got plenty. They got loads.
I mean, Chovy didn't have any, and now he
has used more.
Yeah, that would be like Chovy going from. But yeah, true. Chovy going from. Like never winning to winning for being the first team ever and the first.
Well, now that
ever.
He's cracked, he's like learned how to win, and so it's not like he's gonna forget, you know. And so now he's just gonna keep winning for the rest of his
man.
Career.
Whenever he leaves LoL Park, it seems kind of go all right.
Yeah, I'm okay with like the Gen.G storyline if they win again. Also, this finals is infinitely more interesting if T1 actually wins. I don't expect that to happen, but that's a cool storyline. Like that, I'll take
year.
That Gen.G T1 storyline.
Like the upset where Gen.G beat T1.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're saying. Like, I think that you do get a slight advantage playing in the lower bracket final.
And then I can finally make my rant about how being in the upper bracket is unfair because you don't get to lose. Because that hasn't happened yet.
True. It's like technically you should actually play another final because that isn't technically a grand final, is it?
Yeah,
that is just the upper bracket final, and then the grand final should be afterwards.
But that's not.
That's not how we do it.
And also, it hasn't actually happened yet. Because every team, I think, that is... Oh, no, Gen.G did. Yeah, Gen.G came in from lower bracket,
came in from lower bracket and beat T1.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that, I also... Yeah, that's the only... Like, as good as this bracket is, that's the only thing. I would love if we could do a... I know, is it like the one-up best of seven? You get like a one-game advantage.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Or just do another best of five.
I would love that, but I don't think that's actually realistically.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it should be done, though, right? So, like, if, T1 comes up from the lower bracket, manages to beat Gen.G, they have to do it again. That should theoretically be how it works. And that would be super hype. You just get another best of five between these two teams. And if it is, like... the lower bracket coming up and beating the upper bracket, that means that it's obviously like a competitive series. And if the first place team is just not, there's no competition, then we just move on, right?
If KT can win this, I think some of the similar problems why we picked HLE here, but then we picked T1 here, occurs. And like, if KT can upset here and have a good performance and the right mentality, go here. I think KT actually go here as well. Am I crazy?
I agree.
It will probably be like a 5-gamer. It's not going to be the same sort of like massive gigabrain read that T1 will probably have, but like, I do see a world like if KT, they make the miracle, like it goes from here to here to here.
And then they get free zeroed.
Yes. Same story.
I mean, it's about as likely for that, like, for that to happen, or even for them to just lose to D+ in the first round.
It's all 50-50.
I mean, it's true, but like the way, like, I think that if there is like KT and they're on form and they like come into the DK match and they look really good, and their read on the meta is strong, and like Beryl is actually cooking,
Jinx,
and he's
is
doing
buffed.
It well. Like, yeah,
crit
Jinx
items
is buff.
Are buffed.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Jinx is indirectly buffed.
But also, like, that's how Deft prefers to play, just in general. So that does help them. But I think that like if they just have a good read and it works, like KT could be a really interesting team, because like, remember, this is, it's a large portion of the
some
of the dream team, you know,
picks, you know, that we haven't seen yet. Like that could happen.
Rammus.
We did see that.
Yeah, I think
Rammus is good. I think Rammus is actually a good pick.
Yeah, Vel's and
Rammus. Pick double AD carry, and then you just Rammus.
A long discussion, just some point and click in general.
We looked at every champion in the game, and we were like, who has point and click CC? And the one of them that we looked at was Rammus.
Every other one, like Fize meta, Nautilus, especially like Annie, ranged point and click CC.
Yeah. TF, gold card, nerfed.
Where's Malzahar then?
Yeah, well, Malzahar has a standstill, so it's kind of
still points and he clicks.
True. Mm-hmm. That's the only. But we also have Rammus.
Think legit. Like, I've been joking about this for a while, and it's Huni's biggest nightmare. But like, I actually think he might have a place in the meta fairly soon, just with how the game shakes out right now. How it's so
someone
based
call
one
Crown.
Target.
Tell him to come back.
Oh boy.
But
who else then? Is it only like the. Who else has a point in click?
No,
stone?
We actually went through the entire champion list, because most other ones are either melee, so it's like Counter Strike or something. It's a lot harder to make work. Skarner is basically melee, or it's
is about to change.
Or it's true. Or it's a skill shot. So then like
then it's not the same.
Yeah,
Peanut Skarner man in summer.
I mean,
Skarner
looks freaking insane.
Yeah, he looks so dope.
Holy.
Definitely going to be busted.
Yeah, it definitely is going to be.
By the time summer rolls around, he will be nerfed into the ground and we won't see him.
And champions maybe. That, like,
hope not.
Either, like, that traverse walls in really broken ways. Like, how many of them have we, like, Smolder flapping over, you've got Zeri skating over, and now you've got, like,
Kane,
Skarner just
Kane
drilling
definitely
through
in the meta.
And then, like, being better Poppy and then being better. Like Sion, because he can go through walls, and then being better like everything else all at the same time, being better himself because his ult now hits everyone. Like, oh my god,
it was so weird when Kane was meta in what 2021?
No, that's still one of the best games, the Kane game World's Quarters in 2022. I think that's when DK really went boom.
I mean.
I think it was when Khan played Yasuo top.
Oh! That was King Wong. No! Why did you bring that back?
Last series of his career.
Hey, look, he went out with a bang, and he loves playing the Windy Boy, you know? So
one game away
sense.
From... Oh, my God.
Should have played Riven.
Still gets
me. He should have.
No, he shouldn't, but it would have been more fun and iconic.
It is beautiful.
I think we did it.
I think we've done it too.
We solved the LCK playoffs.
It was more interesting than I thought it was going to be.
Seriously, it is. Yeah.
I think it's just because a lot of the individual matchups, even though the outcome feels kind of predetermined, it's very in line with Dune. You know, you already know what's going to happen, but it's still cool.
Yeah. Sometimes it's about the journey.
Not this again.
It is very sandy, this bracket. Yeah.
So if we were to
quickly
run off some percentages, right, for what we think. So Harmalife Esports versus KDF, 100%? 95? No, just 100.
99.
99 is it. We'll tolerate 99.
Shouldn't we do scores?
KT, 50?
I'm going to say 70.
50-50. 50-50, but it's going to be KT.
50, but it's 70. Yeah. Like, write the 5 like it's a 7.
Yeah. Or just write it like it's a goose head
it's
or something.
It's a 70-50.
Yeah.
Question marks.
That's good, right?
Yeah. Ginger Kate, is that 93?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly 93. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
60-40.
Yeah.
55?
Yeah, 55. 55-60. Yeah.
We're really unsure about this one.
It's just love a question mark.
98? No.
95.
92, kind of in the middle?
Yeah, 92. Yeah, 92. I'm down with the 92.
Right? Yeah.
I like each of the Gen G ones is like, we're 90-something percent sure.
Shoutouts to G2.
Yeah. That is a G and yes. Not a 9.
Anyway.
Oh, God. 50-50?
No, it's
60-40.
80-50. That's the only thing that makes sense.
That is so
KT have a 50% chance to win, but also T1 has an 80% chance to win.
Yeah. An 80.
Don't talk about the 8. Actually, maybe this kind of works. I don't know what this is supposed to be.
No, that's
unknown numbers.
All the KT ones are so scuffed. So this is 40-60.
Yeah.
It's weird that with the Gen G predictions, 91? He doesn't actually write the other one. Why does he say 99-1?
I don't know.
91?
For the bottom?
Yeah.
I'd say like
Or do we give
85.
It like a
I'd
yeah,
say like
in the
70
80s.
Maybe?
77.
Like, I think T1 have a
finals
chance.
Is above.
77?
77? Or do you want to do cold 75, like 3 out of 4?
Nah, 77.
77.
Okay. Like more like
77 makes more sense. Yeah.
77.7 repeating.
Yeah. That's make sure you put sevens. The line above the numbers to show it's repeating.
It's a big payout.
That's not repeating.
No, that's just 7,777%. That's a big damage multiplier in video games. Yeah.
Balatro.
Yeah, gorgeous.
The malt.
I think we nailed it.
I think we did absolutely nailed it. And I agree with all of these percentages. You guys at home, let us know whether you also agree with the kind of percentages that we have. Or maybe you also think that we're completely wrong, and obviously T1's massively favored.
So
yeah, I don't know if I will be reading those comments. You can let us know, and I'll have my publisher look through the comments and give me the ones that are readable.
So MSI bracket next? FlyQuest versus Gen G.
Oh.
I'm joking.
Yeah, I don't know whether I want to think about that.
No, we shouldn't.
Wait, is TL going to...
Umpty is one best of 5 win away. Can you imagine, Umpty at an international actually would heal?
Because it's like if it's FlyQuest and
nature.
TL,
it would heal nature.
Planet, yeah.
We get Popper and Umpty. Like that's some LCK
now,
vibes
then KT
going
goes
on.
Goes and we get Pjosic versus Umpty at an international.
What?
Well, it's like what it was when we were commentating the LCK like a couple of years ago. Oh my god.
What if lava?
No.
Crocolai?
What about Forest? What about Forest, guys? Yeah, there are a lot of possibilities, but that is for the next episode. This is going to be our prediction for the playoffs, and we're very much hoping that this is actually not what happens. We're hoping that it's a few ups, like
we're
some
okay with
sort
it,
of
but
upset.
It's not, yeah, yeah, it's yeah, not yeah. ideal.
Because like these are all, I think, like going to be more contentious than we're even giving them credit for. I think that like this playoffs is, I mean, maybe that's untrue. Apart from the left-hand side or the Gen G side, the Gen G ones are like, that's, side. We're being generous, I think, with the odds
for other
people.
Yeah, they did go 17-1. I'm like, again, you're going
to the only team that's managed to not be first or runner-up after going undefeated in a round robin
is
KT.
But two of those players are now on Gen G. Hmm. That's food for thought.
That is food for thought. That is true.
It is food.
My but brain ate it, yeah.
Was it?
Was it nice?
It was a little
overcooked.
A little crusty.
The KT memory still hurts.
Yeah. Mm. But that is going to do it for this episode. Let us know what you think about the playoffs and what you're going to expect. And we'll see you there on the weekend for those incredible best of fives. See what the Quantum can do it. We'll see what can happen. It's going to be absolutely amazing. We'll see you there. Good night.